This is Fresh Air. More than 30 years after his classic supernatural comedy Beetlejuice, Tim Burton is back with a sequel called Beetlejuice Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton again stars as the ghoulish green-haired prankster of the title, and Winona Ryder and Catherine O'Hara reprise their roles also. Beetlejuice Beetlejuice opens in theaters this week, and our film critic Justin Chang has this review.
The impish demon known as Beetlejuice has been dead for centuries, but he's enjoyed a pretty long life in popular culture. Tim Burton's hit film spawned a trippy animated TV series, which I happily devoured as a kid in the late 80s, and more recently, a Beetlejuice stage musical that's now touring the US. Even so, I wasn't hankering for a sequel to the Burton movie, which might have turned out to be just another fan-servicing, nostalgia-milking cash grab. Fortunately, there isn't a whiff of cynicism to Beetlejuice Beetlejuice. Burton shows real affection for the first film's characters and genuine curiosity about how they're doing 3 decades or so later. Winona Ryder is back as Lydia Deetz, who escaped Beetlejuice's clutches as a teenager. Now she's a paranormal expert with her own talk show. Lydia has long since buried the hatchet with her artist stepmother, Delia, the sublime Catherine O'Hara. But she's having a tougher time with her own teenage daughter, Astrid. That's Jenna Ortega from the show Wednesday, whose creators, Alfred Goff and Miles Miller, wrote this movie. When Lydia's father dies suddenly, the family reunites at their old Connecticut home for the funeral. It's here that Lydia accidentally winds up summoning Beetlejuice, thanks in part to her sleaze of a fiancé, played by Justin Theroux.
So you're saying that someone called Beetlejuice...
Don't say his name. If you say his name 3 times, he will appear.
I know this is a big step for you, but in the words of Dr. Glickman, I'm going to give you the push you need. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
With a sudden whoosh, Beetlejuice is back, played by Michael Keaton with the same messy green hair, rotting teeth, and mischievous streak as before.
First of all, I want you 2 kids to know this is a safe space, okay? Feel free to express yourself. Don't be afraid. I sense there's an enabler here, but we'll get to that.
You're a figment of my imagination.
Really? Is this a figment of your imagination?
Lydia winds up joining forces with Beetlejuice, begging him to help her after Astrid falls into a trap and gets sucked into the underworld. But Beetlejuice has worries of his own. Centuries ago, when he was still alive, he married a woman named Dolores, played by a witchy Monica Bellucci. Things didn't end well, and now Dolores is back and stalking him. It's a silly twist, and a fairly inconsequential part of the breezy anything-goes plot. But that breeziness is part of the movie's charm. Like its predecessor, Beetlejuice Beetlejuice is basically a supernatural screwball rom-com, in which marriage is never a matter of till death do us part. The movie is refreshingly unsentimental about love, whether it's Astrid getting hoodwinked by a teenage crush, or Lydia being courted by not one, but 2 unsavory suitors. Beetlejuice is less of a villain this time around, though as played by a fast-talking, shape-shifting Keaton, he's still a pain in the neck. He hasn't really changed much in 30-odd years. In the afterlife, that's a drop in the bucket. But the living characters have changed, in interesting ways. Delia, no longer just a sculptor but a multimedia artist, is mellower than before, though O'Hara gives her a dash of dottiness, perhaps channeling her Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek. Lydia, played with such moody self-possession by Ryder in the first film, is now a bundle of nerves, determined to save her daughter and their relationship at any cost. At a certain point, Beetlejuice Beetlejuice becomes a kind of hellish door-slamming farce, with multiple characters hurtling through portals between the realms of the living and the dead. But while the movie can be distractingly busy, it never feels frenetic or exhausting. The underworld production design is ravishingly grim, and some of the sight gags, like when a dismembered corpse reassembles itself using a staple gun, are as exquisite as they are grisly. And for all the state-of-the-art technique on display, the movie retains a handcrafted look that feels rooted in the original. The result may not reach the first film's darkly funny heights, but then to his credit, Burton seems more interested in updating than duplicating his earlier achievement. There is, however, one scene, a lovely choral performance of Harry Belafonte's Calypso classic, Deo, that nicely calls back to the first movie's most memorable moment. It was enough to make me imagine the late, great Belafonte himself hanging out with the various misshapen denizens of this fantasy afterlife, and having, to his surprise as well as mine, a remarkably good time.
Justin Chang is a film critic for The New Yorker. He reviewed Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. On Monday's show, stand-up comedian and late-night talk show host Taylor Tomlinson. She hosts CBS's After Midnight, which bills itself as the smartest show about the dumbest things on the internet. She talks about hosting a late-night talk show, finding humor in her dating life, and her diagnosis of bipolar disorder. I hope you can join us.
Deo, me say deo. Daylight command me want to go.
Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support by Joyce Lieberman, Julian Hertzfeld, and Deanna Martinez. For Terry Gross and Tanya Mosley, I'm David Biancooley.